What a beautiful Sabbath. When we can come together and enjoy our kids and laugh and enjoy the presence of God. This is awesome. And I'm so happy that we can enjoy this all together as a church family. You know, life is complex. Sometimes we face very difficult moments that test us and challenge us. But then there are other moments in life that are very joyful and happy. And it just seems that the combination of all of these moments tends to influence or construct our present and shape our future. Some people even turn to professional life planners to help them figure out their life, because life can be stressful. And sometimes we rely on these professionals so that we don't have to feel stressed out about planning our own lives. And sometimes all it takes is for a child, for our children, to be present in our lives to remind us about the beauty and the simplicity of life. It's interesting that Jesus said, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable than they are?" And then Jesus says, "Check out the flowers. Look at the lilies of the fields and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing." And then Jesus goes on to say later on, "Check out these children. Your children and my children. Check out these kids. Look at how they play and enjoy life. Kids can teach us more about life than we ever imagined. They have no jobs. They have no bills to pay. They have no grudges to hold. And their souls are beautiful, and we can learn some beautiful lessons from our children." And Jesus thought so too, because he says, "Look at these kids. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." So to all of us, experienced, knowledgeable, respectable adults, Jesus says, "Be like a child." He tells us that if the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is our priority, and if we long for eternal life, then Jesus is telling us, have the uncomplicated, beautiful, and simple heart of a child. Wow. What a lesson. We want to teach our kids a thing or two about life, but Jesus is suggesting that we can learn a thing or two from them. Last Christmas, my husband and I had the opportunity to visit my kids at the orphanage in Haiti, where they're serving as student missionaries. They left back in late September, and I expect them back in early June. And I have to tell you that this mama has missed her kids like crazy. They will be back in 5 weeks, 1 day, 10 hours. And I figured that if I added the minutes and seconds, that way it might be a little too much. We played at that orphanage. We played with the kids. We had time off, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. They are in a tiny town called Trudenord in the northeastern part of Haiti. Literally, there is nothing there. And every day, kids would come to my door in the morning and ask me if I could come out and play. And I would play. We played with the kids. We worked on crafts together. And we just shared in their fun and in their joy and happiness. And I was reminded of Jesus' words. Heaven belongs to those who are like children. But I think that we have a little bit of a hard time with this. I think that oftentimes we want our children to be like little adults who anticipate and organize and plan to the nth degree, because that's what we do. We do it to the point that we stress ourselves out and we worry so deeply about life and about our future. a future that God already knows. We forget that like the flowers and the birds and like our children, we are all in God's special care, and that we are safe because He is the best life planner we could ever have. God has special plans for our lives. Adventurers, God has amazing plans for your lives too. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that was so beautifully read this morning, we are His masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So fun fact, kids, if you go to the Greek, the original language, masterpiece in the Greek is poema, which means poem. We are God's poem. We're His masterpiece. We're an artwork for God. It is so beautiful that He considers us this way. You know, there was a little boy by the name of Eugenio Adorno, and he was born to Puerto Rican parents in the tough neighborhoods of the Bronx in New York. When he was about 5 years old, his family moved back to Puerto Rico, and at age 6, it was time for him to start first grade. But Eugenio struggled with school. He had a hard time in first grade. And finally, at the end of that year of first grade, his teachers decided that he was going to have to stay behind. And he had basically flunked first grade. For Eugenio, this was devastating. It was horrible to see all of his friends moving on to second grade while he had to stay behind and do first grade all over again. Then, to make matters worse, Eugenio had a speech impediment. He stuttered. By the time he was in third grade, his stuttering was so noticeable and so embarrassing that he decided that he would just not talk. There was safety in silence. He figured that if he didn't speak, no one would notice his stuttering, and no one would make fun of him. As a boy, and later on as a young man, Eugenio struggled through life. He struggled with his self-esteem. He felt like he had no real direction in life, and life in general and his plans for the future seemed so unclear. In fact, he felt that there was no purpose for his life, no real plan for his life. He figured then, if there is no purpose and no plan for my life, then what is the point to living? There's no point to my life. You know, I love that in Scripture we get to read about people who had real struggles just like we do, just like this kid Eugenio had. I love reading the story of David in the Bible, and I like that we get to see the beginning of David's story almost to the very end. We see David's story, and we get to see how God works in people's lives. That's the beauty of Scripture, that we can relate to those people in the pages of the Bible. And I tend to think that maybe David thought that the plan for his life, for the rest of his life, was to be a shepherd. He lived in Bethlehem, a city just south of Jerusalem, the birthplace of Jesus, and his family owned sheep and a lot of land, and they lived a very peaceful and simple life. And it was during that time in the field that David spent many hours, countless hours with his sheep, but it was during that time that he connected with God. And during that time, he also had a lot of time to develop a musical talent, and he also became an expert slinger. He was good with his sling, and he used that tool to defend his flock. The Bible also tells us that as he developed his musical talent, he got really good. In fact, he was called away from his full-time shepherd job to a part-time job. He got a part-time job at the palace. He would go and play music for King Saul, because King Saul was a very stressed-out king. So David would come to the palace and play for him and calm his nerves. David's music was therapy for the king. Maybe David thought that music would be the plan for his future. But then one day, as he was bringing lunch to his brothers near the battlefield, where the army of Israel was face to face with the Philistine army, David discovers that the Philistines have a giant in their ranks. And the giant's name was Goliath. What a cool name for a giant, right? It sounds impressive and sort of scary, but his name was not the only scary thing. The guy was huge. So if you look at 6 cubits and 1 span, what does that mean? That's his height. Some argue that he was 9 feet 6 inches tall. Others say that he was slightly over 7 feet tall. Either way, the guy was huge. And while the entire army of Israel was shaking in their boots, David was feeling a little upset and a little annoyed because everyone was so afraid of this giant. You see, David had an awesome connection with God, and he knew that when God is with you, there's no need to be fearful. He knew that no matter how big the giant was or how difficult the circumstances, he could face this because throughout his entire life, God was with him. He never walked alone. And when you're not overcome by fear, you can think a little bit clearly and think things through. And that's exactly what David did. He wasn't afraid. With God, he faced this giant. And with his sling and his skill, he brought victory to Israel. Could it be that David thought that the plan for his life was to serve in Israel's army? Was he going to be in the military? But you see, David had turned his life over to God. He didn't worry about what was coming ahead. He felt peace in his heart. David had given his life to God. And when we trust our lives to God, there's no need to stress or worry. Obviously, God had other plans for David's life. He was not going to be a shepherd for the rest of his life. He was not going to be a musician for the rest of his life. And he wasn't called to serve in Israel's army for the rest of his life. God had called him to be king over Israel. He was to be a king. And I know that some of you adventurers are already thinking about your future, and maybe you've started to make plans for your future. In fact, at the Adventurer Campout last week, I interviewed a few of you, and I asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up. And here are some of the answers that I heard. I found out that Caroline wants to be a teacher, and Devin is thinking about being an engineer. And Kayla wants to be a nature explorer. How cool is that? And I also found out that one of our kids in this adventure club was named after one of the pastors on our staff. So Rindu, I don't know where he is. I think I saw him earlier. But Rindu's first name is Alger. There you are. And guess what? Alger Rindu is your full name. Guess what he wants to do when he grows up? He wants to be a pastor. Pastor Alger, I don't know where he went, but I thought that was kind of cool. And Solomon says he would like to be a scientist. And Isabella told me that she wants to be a chef, and I learned all about her Minnie Mouse bow tie soup. And Renee gave me the most eloquent explanation about why she wants to be a middle school teacher. And Annabelle wants to be a surgeon, and Lily wants to be a world explorer. Guys, God believes in us, in you, before we even know how to believe in ourselves. He has great things planned for your lives. And remember that kid, Eugenio Adorno? Well, let me tell you about him. He's here with us today. And I want to introduce you to my friend, Eugenio. He is Shaggy the Clown. Today, he is a pastor. He holds a master's in divinity. And his ministry is to share the love of Jesus with people across the world. as Shaggy the Clown and Shaggy the Messenger. Shaggy has traveled to 38 countries across the world, has met with foreign dignitaries and presidents in different countries, and Shaggy has invited God to be part of his life. He said yes to God, and he said yes to God's plans for his life. And he's here today to share Jesus with all of us and with our children in a little while. And Shaggy, I'm so excited because you decided to trust God with your life and to put all of your life in his hands and allow him to plan your life out in the most incredible and amazing way. And he's going to take you and continue to take you on the most incredible and fun and joyful journey of your life.